RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to hand out land titles in Bali. Minister Luhut affirms BPPT to overcome soil scarcity. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo is about to hand out land titles on Friday, August 4th as part of National Strategy Program in Denpasar, Bali. The event will be held after President attends Hanura Party National Leadership Meeting. Hanura National Leadership Meeting is held in the Stone Hotel Kuta on August 4 until 5th. The participants of the meeting will discuss the criteria for a potential running mate for Joko Widodo in the 2019 presidential election. Hanura Party Deputy Secretary General Japar Bajaber said that the party has decided to nominate Joko Widodo in the 2019 presidential election based on an extraordinary meeting held in December last year. He said that the party expressed its official endorsement to Mr. Joko Widodo. After attending Hanura leadership meeting and handing out land titles, President Joko Widodo and the state lady Iriana will visit Nyoman Gunarsak Contemporary Museum in Klungkung District and return to Jakarta in the afternoon. The Agency for Technology Assessment and Application, BPPT, has already had the technology to overcome salt scarcity in Indonesia. This was affirmed by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta on Thursday. He stated that the application of technology would be discussed with Indonesian Research, Technology and Higher Education Minister Muhammad Nasir. He stated that BPPT can produce a lot of salt. He has reported this to Vice President Yusuf Kalla on Friday. He will hold a meeting with experts of Indonesian Research, Technology and Higher Education Ministry. Minister Luhut also added that it is of low cost no matter how the weather condition is. If the technology is feasible, it could be applied soon. Thus, Indonesia can increase salt production and Indonesia does not need to import salt. To boost the volume of textile export, Indonesian government is seeking a bilateral agreement with United States. Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto said in Jakarta on Tuesday, as reported by Antara News Agency, that currently the U.S. imposes a 12.5% import duty for Indonesian textile, while it imposes 0% for Vietnamese textile because both USA and Vietnam have already had a bilateral agreement. Indonesian export to the U.S. reached $9.13 billion last year. The main manufactured products reported exported to the country were palm oil products, furniture, pulp and paper, handicrafts, electronics, and aluminum products. Director General of Industrial Resilience and International Access at the Ministry, Harjanto, said that Indonesia had discussed various issues with the U.S. through the Trade Investment Council, TIC Forum. He explained that the TIC consists of four working groups on industrial and agriculture products, illegal logging, and assorted trade, intellectual property rights, and investment. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The implementation of green economy based on the environmental sustainability is important to support developmental performance. Head of National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, remarked on Tuesday that he wants the economic growth not only for 1 to 5 years but for 10 to 20 years in the future. It could happen if Indonesia gradually implements the green economy in its growth strategy. He also said that the government has started drafting a green economic concept in the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2020-2024 to support the improvement of people's welfare and reduction of emission levels. He added that the government must pay attention to the capacity of the environment by focusing on sectorial and regional development in the context of emission reduction. Minister of Justice and Human Rights Yasona Lawli said that he has not received an official report from the police Polri regarding the existence of mass organization other than Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia, which is indicated that it has state ideology other than Pancasila. This was affirmed by Minister Yasona after meeting with President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. Minister Yasona said that the government is responsible for holding groups carrying ideology other than Pancasila. He also explained that the government needs a strong evidence before disbanding a mass organization with legal status.
Itu Polri kan mengatakan kan hanya indikasi.
The police say it is only an indication. We are waiting for the report. We hope that we are committed to guarding this nation together. The state ideology is clear. The phone of our country is clear. The Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia. Its ideology is Pancasila, we must guard. The police have informed the public that there is an indication, but there is still no evidence. After this government regulation in law, in lieu of law, we have to wait and see. After disbanding Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia, the police have already found other anti-Pancasila mass organization. Head of Public Information Division of Police Public Relations Division, Martinus Sitompul, said that there are organizations other than Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia with non-Pancasila ideology. He views that the police continue to monitor the organizations. Until now, the police have not disclosed the identity of the organizations. The last item, Panji Culture Festival as part of the series of ASEAN Literary Festival will be held in August with until 6, 2017 at Wayan Museum, Kota Tua, Jakarta. Executive Director of ASEAN Literary Festival, Oki Madasari, has said at a press conference in Jakarta recently that the Panji story is the cultural heritage that strengthens ASEAN identity. The story becomes the inspiration for other art forms such as dance, puppet, mask, and fine arts. Panji is Southeast Asian wealth. 10 of the Southeast Asian countries have Panji as their cultural heritage. Of course, we are proud to present the story of Panji in ASEAN Literary Festival. Panji was a legendary prince in East Java, Indonesia. His wife formed the basis of cycle of Japanese stories along with the Ramayana and Mahabharata. The main story of Panji tells the romance between Prince Panji and Princess Kirana and Panji's search for his long-lost bride. The Indonesian National Library, along with Malaysia, Cambodia, the British Library, and Leiden University has registered a Panji script as the World Collected Memory for category of Ancient Manuscript or Memory of the World in UNESCO. The result will be known in October 2017. To support this, the Panji Cultural Festival will include several series of activities, namely Panji Cultural Art Performance, Panji Cultural Seminar and Exhibition. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener commentary today entitled in Changes in U.S. Attitude Towards North Korea and the Impact on its Relationship with South Korea and China. The U.S. government stance on North Korea over Pyongyang's policy of nuclear terror is changing. Previously, due to the nuclear missile test launched by the North Korean government, there has been a tension in relation between Pyongyang and Washington. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson stated in Washington yesterday that U.S. government would not demand changes to the regime in North Korea. As quoted by various mass media, Rex Tillerson affirmed that the United States is not the enemy of North Korea. The White House stand does not necessarily Pyo's opinion, which is unfriendly with North Korea. A senior senator of the Republican Party says that a war against North Korea is a choice that has to be considered. The senator's anger is reasonable in connection with North Korean's statement that the latest test missile could reach and disrupt the west coast of the United States or any regions of the country. The second test of intercontinental ballistic missile of North Korea, which was carried out on Friday and celebrated happily by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, is the latest trial to violate the United Nations ban. In response to the North Korean stance, the United States also tested its missile launch in South Korea. Changes in the U.S. attitude towards Pyongyang can be a question for its ally, South Korea. On one hand, it seems that Seoul hopes that United States will be strict and tough, as President Donald Trump expressed previously. On the other hand, the Chinese government must observe Washington's diplomatic statements affirmed by Tillerson. Whether Washington's attitude towards North Korea will affect the pattern of relations with Seoul and Beijing is that we will wait and see further development. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening. Read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. It's nice to meet you again. With me, Hernita, our regular today's segment, which brings back people from an event which occurred on August 4, 1916. The United States purchased the Virgin Islands from Denmark worth $25 million. The Virgin Islands, the United States, is an unincorporated territory belongs to the United States in the Caribbean region. Geographically, the region is part of the Virgin Islands. The U.S. Virgin Islands consist of four main islands, namely St. Thomas, St. John, St. Croix, and Water Island, as well as other small islands. The next event on August 4, 1949, Hatta 1 Cabinet ends its duty and replaced by Hatta 2 Cabinet. The Hatta 1 Cabinet is the seventh cabinet established in Indonesia. This cabinet was formed by Vice President Muhammad Hatta on the orders of President Sukarno on January 23, 1948, the same day when the previous cabinet was declared dissolved. This cabinet served on the January 29, 1948 until August 4, 1949 period. Now we conclude today in history with an event which occurred on August 4, 2007, the launching of Phoenix Space Station. Phoenix is National Aeronautics and Space Administration of NASA's Inspired spacecraft, which was launched to Mars under the Mars Scout program. Mars is the fourth closest planet from the Sun. Phoenix has a mission to find the natural surroundings which suitable for the life of microorganism on Mars and investigate water history on the planet. The spacecraft was launched on August 4, 2007 and landed on Mars on May 25, 2008. On June 25, 2008, NASA confirmed the discovery of ice on Mars. After discovering the chunks of white objects found in trenches dug by the Phoenician landing plane, then vanished in 4 days. Phoenix was regarded as the sixth landing on Mars and the first landing in the polar region of Mars. The Phoenix program was headed by the Moon and Planet Laboratories, University of Arizona, under the guidance of the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome back to Focus. Today's focus is about Indonesian government launches measles rubella immunization. Indonesian President Joko Widodo launched the rubella measles immunization campaign in Sindoharjo Village, Ngaglik Subdistrict, Sleman, Yogyakarta on Tuesday, August 1st. President Joko Widodo in his speech said, "Diseases such as rubella measles has been proven very dangerous and known throughout the world. Therefore, measles and rubella infections should bring serious attention, as it can be fatal for children." According to President Joko Widodo, in Indonesia, still less than 1% of Indonesian children who have received rubella measles immunization, whereas ideally, this immunization should be targeted to more than 95% of Indonesian children. Therefore, the government is strongly committed to realize the elimination of rubella measles by 2020.
Untuk melindungi anak-anak kita, melindungi hak anak Indonesia.
To protect our children, protecting the rights of Indonesian children remains healthy and cheerful. To protect the future of our children, I want to call all of Indonesian children aged 9 months to less than 15 years to get MR immunization. President Joko Widodo also asked all relevant ministries and agencies to directly down to the community and explain the immunization of rubella measles that is required for the health of children. Meanwhile, Health Minister Nila F. Molook said, the government is strongly committed to realize the elimination of measles and controlling rubella disease and congenital disability due to rubella or congenital rubella syndrome in Indonesia in 2020.
Nah, kalau rubella itu, kalau kita lihat, yang kena itu anak yang dilahirkan dari ibu yang...
Rubella usually hit a child who was born from rubella-affected mother. The mothers are infected from the suspected children. Then the children suffered seriously. I said earlier, the children were born with cataracts. We can imagine the children with cataracts, they cannot see the world, even deaf. Minister Nila Molook added that MR immunization will be conducted in 2 phases, namely from August to September 2017 in all areas of Java Island, and from August to September 2018 in all provinces outside Java Island. This year, 6 provinces, 119 districts, municipalities, and 3,579 community health centers or puskesmas will implement campaign targeting the babies of 9 months age up to less than 15 years old children. More than 34 million children in Indonesia will be immunized by MR. For information, measles rubella immunization is a free vaccination program to prevent the spread of measles and rubella in Indonesia. Listener, that was the focus.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo is about to hand out land titles on Friday, August 4th as part of National Strategy Program in Denpasar, Bali. The event will be held after the President Joko Widodo attends Hanura Party National Leadership Meeting. Hanura National Leadership Meeting is held in the Stone Hotel Kuta on August 4th until 5th. The Agency for Technology Assessment and Application, BPPT, has already had the technology to overcome soil scarcity in Indonesia. This was affirmed by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan in Jakarta on Thursday. To boost the volume of textile exports, Indonesian government is seeking a bilateral agreement with United States. Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto said in Jakarta on Tuesday, as reported by Antara News Agency, that currently U.S. imposes a 12.5% import duty for Indonesian textile, while it imposes 0% for Vietnamese textile because both countries and Vietnam have already had a bilateral agreement. The implementation of green economy based on the environmental sustainability is important to support developmental performance. Head of National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Bambang Brojonegoro, remarked on Tuesday that he wants the economic growth not only for 1 to 5 years, but for 10 to 20 years in the future. Minister of Justice and Human Rights Yasona Lawli said that he has not received an official report from the police force regarding the accident of mass organization other than Hizbut Tahrir Indonesia, which is indicated that it has state ideologies other than Pancasila. This was pinned by Minister Yasona after meeting with President Joko Widodo at the State Palace in Jakarta on Thursday. Panji Culture Festival, as part of the series of ASEAN Literary Festival, will be held on August 5 until 6, 2017 at Wayan Museum, Kota Tua, Jakarta. Executive Director of the ASEAN Literary Festival, Oki Madasaria, said at a press conference in Jakarta recently that the Panji story is the cultural heritage that strengthens ASEAN identity. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, we meet again in the regular Indonesian Wonder. Today we will introduce you to Lengger Dance, so stay tuned. Listener, Nan Jombang Dance Company and Gelombang Minangkabau Community back to hold Kabau Festival 2017. The art festival that includes dance, theater, and traditional music is held in Padang, West Sumatra on August 2nd to 5th, 2017. The first Kabau Festival was held in order to facilitate the artists to exhibit their works, whether in the form of music, dance or drama that will take place in West Sumatra Cultural Park. A variety of works from artists will be presented during Kabau Festival. One of them is Lengger Dance Performance from Banyumas. The Banyumas typical dance is displayed with a new touch and style. Lengger is one of the traditional dances from Central Java, which is played by a man and a woman. The dance is also one of classical dances that have existed since the ancient times. Lengger comes from the word le, which means boy, and the word ger, which means crowded, because many male audiences attended every Lengger show in the past. The dance got a negative label because the movements and scenes in this dance are considered enticing lust. Afterward, this dance was changed by Sunan Kalijaga as preaching tools. Sunan Kalijaga inserted the teachings to always remember God. In the result, many people say the word lengger is taken from the word iling,
which means remember, and girl means not or the calling for boy. So, it means remember boy, the calling to remember on the greatness of God. Listener on the show, langgar dance is usually played by two people, a man and a woman. In this dance, there are several rounds. In dancing, langgar dance is dominated by hip movements, so it looks adorable, following the lively and dynamic rhythm of Banyumasan. In one round, when the female dancer will invite male audiences to dance by pulling them to stage with sampur or scarf. During the performance, the langgar dance is accompanied by traditional gamelan music called calung. The main instrument of gamelan calung is made of wulung bamboo or purple black, kenong, gambang, gong, kendang, and some other traditional musical instruments. While the music is played, there is a certain singer called Sindan that sings beautifully. Listener, female dancer usually uses kamben, jarit cloth, crown, and scarf for the costumes. Male dancer usually only wears long shirt or vest, knee-high pants, jarit cloth along the thigh, headband, and mask. The mask that is used by a male dancer usually depicts the character he plays. The langgar dance is now performed for the wedding ceremony and welcoming guest event. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic of langgar dance. Tomorrow, we will meet again with other interesting topics. See you later. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. We'll meet again in Miscellany. SAIL Indonesia is an annual yacht rally tournament that departs from Darwin, Australia. This event is held in every July and is followed by a three-month program related to tourism destinations throughout Indonesia. In this miscellany edition, we'll talk about Sabang SAIL, which becomes the peak of SAIL Indonesia 2017 activities. Listener, SAIL Indonesia 2017 will be held again. This activity starts from Darwin, Australia on Saturday, July 29, 2017. 2017. The participants of SEAL Indonesia will arrive in Sabang, Aceh Province on December 1st to December 7th, 2017. This arrival is marked as the peak of the activity. As it is known, SEAL Indonesia 2017 is an international event that has been held since 2000. This activity is the World Scale Yacht Rally started from Darwin, Australia to some regions of Indonesia. The yachts will stop over in Bali, East Nusa Tenggara, Thousand Islands, and Batam before continuing their voyage to Singapore, Malaysia, and Thailand. The Deputy of Human Resources, Maritime Technology and Maritime Science at the Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Safri Burhanuddin, said that SEAL Sabang 2017 gives the theme Sabang as the world gates of maritime destinations. Besides focusing on tourism development, SEAL Sabang will also be highlighted with various activities. The location of these activities will be focused on 4 points: Sabang Bay, Sabang Fair, Gapang Resort, and 0 kilometer point. Meanwhile, the peak of this event will take place in Pasiran, Sabang Bay. President Joko Widodo is scheduled to attend this peak of event. This location is also planned to function as a cargo port. This event will display various interesting activities such as yacht rally, seminar, science exhibition, Aceh Cultural Week, SEAL Sabang Parade, International Aerobics Show, Paras Bangan Championships, Wonderful Sabang Exhibition, Marine Exhibition, Sabang Underwater Photography Competition at Ipoh Beach and Capang, Free Dive Championship, fishing competition in Rondo Island surroundings, and many more. The participants can also take a city tour to Banda Aceh, the capital of Aceh Province, and visit the Tsunami Museum. At the opening of SEAL Sabang 2017, a colossal dance of Laksamana Malahayati will be presented. For the closing ceremony, a traditional ceremony called Trun will be shown. SEAL Sabang 2017 is expected to be able to promote Sabang enchantment with various kinds of its maritime excellences. The success of SEAL Sabang 2017 will actualize Indonesian government's goal to make Sabang as an international maritime port hub, especially for western region of Indonesia. Well, listener, that was miscellany for today with the topic SEAL Sabang 2017, the peak of SEAL Indonesia 2017. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. See you later. Thank you.
again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in our regular program, Music Corner. In this program, we present a glimpse of the traditional and modern music development, as well as the career of Indonesian singers. For the 4th August 2017 edition, for you as a fan of Indonesian Dangdut music, we will play Dangdut songs. Starting this meeting, we listen to the song entitled Zakia from Mat Albar. Happy listening. Enjoyed the song Zakia from Ahmad Albar. Although Ahmad Albar is a legend of Indonesian rock music, in his career he ever released dangdut songs. Through the song Zakia, Ahmad Albar shows his ability to bring dangdut songs. Not all singers can sing dangdut songs well, and Ahmad Albar proves with the nuances of rock music, dangdut songs can be sung well. Evidenced by many fans of dangdut music that welcomes his presence. Listener, we listen to one of other songs from Ahmad Albar entitled Raja Kumbang. Listener, thank you for being with me, Dee, in Music Corner program, which is playing Dangdut Song from Ahmad Albar. Dangdut Song album released by Ahmad Albar in 1979 raises the pros and cons. Rock music fans of Ahmad Albar feels disappointed with the presence of this Dangdut album. But Ahmad Albar proved without leaving the nuances of rock in Dangdut songs, the vocal colors fit to bring Dangdut song. After Ahmad Albar, there are several rock singers who then released Dangdut songs. Listener, to end our music corner today, I'll play the song Red Rose or Mawar Merah. Thank you for our togetherness. See you later.
Kulihat bunga mawar terkocang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.